the Pulse WV Live, a network that beats to the heart of God, and I am your host, John Fowler. So glad to have you tuned in, and I hope you're having a great day. And, man, I tell you what, just a beautiful scene behind the backdrop today. I don't know, somebody sent me this, and I don't know where it is, but it's there's a bunch of water there. Anyway, it's pretty nice. I like it. I'm your host, John Fowler, back from Winston-Salem, and glad to be a part of what God's doing in Taze Valley, in Winfield, in Braxton County, and in Palmtown, North Carolina, with our third campus, and so glad to be home again. John Denver said it well, Pastor Jay. No doubt about it. When you come across the state line in West Virginia, you're always glad to be back in West Virginia. I am. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I love West Virginia.
I do too. It's a lot of fun.
I've been blessed to be a lot of places, and I've seen a lot of places that I like to visit and spend time, but I always like coming home.
Yeah, there's nothing like it. So we're back to doing our podcast on Friday morning, I'm just really glad.
I'm worried about you.
That's a
late night trip, man.
Oh, it's fun.
I'm naturally grumpy in the morning. I'd be really grumpy in the morning if I had to do that.
At least, I don't know. It's like, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that.
I didn't realize you had to
make. I'm trying to readjust. It's like you're sitting so low, and I'm trying to figure.
Well, the camera's different, so I'm trying to move.
But now you're hidden
towards the camera.
And it's like, say, hold on here. I don't know how much I can do this. There we go. Let's see here.
I don't want to catch your head. Pearly whites.
There you go. You do have pearly whites. Yeah, it works. So I left about 10 o'clock last night, I guess, from Winston.
Mm-hmm.
And my goal was to be in bed at 2 a.m. And I got in bed at 2:05, and that was perfect. And so, but I'm one of these guys that I absolutely, if I go to bed early,
mm-hmm.
I'm up early, and I don't like to get up early. So
right. So
it worked out good. So let me tell you a little bit about, and then we'll get into why we're here. I go to Grace Life Church
mm-hmm.
on Wednesday nights when I get to Winston. It's down in Greensboro. And Brian Clark is the pastor there. And Brian was in one of our services when we launched back in April.
Right,
Just a really good guy, and he's got a great church down there, and I like going to visit, just seeing him and just, you know, talking and that kind of thing. And he always makes time for me. You know how it is right before service. You know, everybody's busy.
Sure.
And so anyway, he was talking, and I ended up doing a podcast about it yesterday down in Winston about our kingdom value,
mm-hmm.
about how valuable we can be for the kingdom of God.
Absolutely.
And I'd really never thought about that to that extent. And I'm thinking, wow, you know, this is something that, you know, you could really capitalize on. And I thought it was really good. So I just had a great time worshiping with the people of Grace Life down in Greensboro. And then I came back. It's a 40-minute trip. So it's 3.5 hours from my house to Palmtown.
Mm-hmm.
And so... then I drive to Greensboro. That's another 40 minutes back. And I pull in at 15 after 9 at the John 3 Center down there. And I'm thinking, man, it is so early. Of course, it's dark now, you know, 9:15. And I'm thinking, it's so early. So I pulled up movies in Palmtown, North Carolina. So there's a movie theater that's like 7 miles away. And the showing of the last showing of the night at the movie theater was Twister.
Oh, wow.
At 9:45. I don't know if you've seen the first Twister.
You remember the first Twister.
And so this one is really good. And so I thought, well, okay, John's going to the movies. So I had 20 minutes to get there. Of course, there's 20 minutes or almost 30 minutes. There was almost 30 minutes of previews the last movie I was
really
saying. It's crazy.
That's crazy.
And so anyway, we went to the movie. I did. and watched that movie, and then I got about I got out about 20 after 11, and so then drove back and then took a shower and went to bed and slept all night. Nice. I know my body. My body does not need a lot of sleep, but if I go to bed early, I am wide awake at 4 or 5 in the morning. I do not like that. My dad.
I'm the same way.
My it's dad like, gets up early still to this day.
I'm that way. Now that we're out in the now that we're out in the country, I go to bed a lot earlier than I used to. I used to go to bed, you know, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. And just could never shut down and turn off. My wheels were just always spinning. And I have started going to bed much earlier. Of course, Sam, you know, she goes to bed with the chickens. You know, she it gets dark, she goes to bed. And so I would always stay up. It was my devotional time. It was my closet time. The house was quiet. The house was dark. And I could just, you know, put my iPad on and just roam the scriptures, you know, and pray and just be alone with God. And so I've had to readjust all of that schedule because now I'm the point where it's like, is it 10 o'clock yet? Is it 10 o'clock yet? Because I know if I start getting ready for bed at 10, I'll get in bed by 10:30 or a little bit after.
Right.
And I'll sleep. If I go to bed earlier than that, I'll wake up about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and I'm up. I don't.
Yeah.
I'm up for good at that point.
So what time is the latest to text you?
The latest to text me?
Yeah. I know what time to call you. I know. Well, I woke you
why
up.
Why would
the
you
other,
call me?
I woke you up the other morning.
Why would you call me?
Well, no, I mean, I know what the earliest time to call you is.
I'm one of those people who's like, could this have been a text message?
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
When I call you, it's important. When I see Jay Mace on my phone calling me, it's important.
Yeah.
Because you're a text dude.
I am a text
but
dude.
But it's like, okay.
And you're not.
Yeah.
You're not a good texter, so.
I'm working on it.
I know. You're better than you used to be. I'll give you that. I don't know. The latest to text me, I would say probably 10. Because that's usually when, you know, normally the phone's like beside me or nearby. Right. And if you text me, I see it or hear it within a few minutes. But yeah, at 10, I usually go put it on the charger.
Right.
And, you know, brush my teeth and you know, do all those things you do before you go to bed at night. And usually I'm in bed by 10:30. If it's one of those nights where I can't fall asleep real quick,
right,
I might pick the phone back up, you know, just to kind of listen to some music or something and wind down. But, you know, if it's not one of those nights, usually 10's about the last time I look at my phone.
I posted a video like at 11 o'clock.
You didn't expect that long answer, did
you? No, it's good. Sorry, go ahead. Now at least I know. I know it's like, okay. But I posted a video last night about, I don't know, 11 o'clock, and I was amazed the time I got home, the people who had watched it. It's like, people don't sleep. They sit and roam Facebook all night.
Yeah, well, you know, and I think a lot of it, too, is just disconnecting. And, you know, if we don't disconnect, our brain won't slow down. We'll just keep going. And yeah. So that's why I've gotten into the habit of putting it on the charger at 10 and,
yeah,
you know, not jumping on it if I don't need to.
I get it. We are on part two. Pastor Jay is on part two of Create It. And you added a part to the title, Not Enough God.
Yeah, that was a God thing. That just kind of came out in the message.
I didn't really
have that plan.
I thought that was what does that mean, not enough God? Is that where the church is today?
I think it's where the world is. You know, I remember growing up in a time where, you know, God was always an important piece of people's lives. Mm-hmm. And you know, even if they didn't go to church regularly or anything else, you know, people prayed before their meals. People talked about God and people acknowledged God. But I think as time has gone on and as we've desensitized ourselves towards the importance of of God, the importance of church, the importance of Scripture and prayer and all of those things. And we've gotten caught up in all of these, what I call extra gospels. You know, we just don't prioritize God in our life. We prioritize God things, right? We prioritize, you know, heaven and you know, the things that benefit us, but we don't necessarily prioritize God or Jesus Christ. And I think that's why we have so many struggles today.
I think so too. And I think that that's, you know, if people can take the time that they spend on social media and just take 5 minutes of that extra, mm-hmm. and put it towards Jesus, and you know, maybe like a devotion or something like that, I think it could do a wonder in people's lives. And but you know, it's like you can't stand on promises if you don't know what they are.
Yeah,
and that's why it's so important that we need God's word.
Well, and you can't walk with Jesus. I mean, that's a great point. I mean, but you can't walk with Jesus if you don't know who Jesus is, because you know he's not gonna go down some of the lanes that we go.
Right.
You know, and it doesn't mean that he leaves us or forsakes us, because you know the pundits will immediately respond with that. But you know, sometimes it's not even a physical place that we go that Jesus is like, no, I can't go there. But sometimes we go places mentally, you know, and Jesus is like, no, I don't need to be caught up in my emotions. I don't need to be caught up in my fears. I don't need to be caught up in these things, because I know who I am.
Right.
I know what I am, and right. I know where I'm going. And I think a lot of times as humans, we don't.
Right.
And so we struggle and we wonder.
You still think the church is in an identity crisis in a lot of ways? That if the church really knew who the church was, it wouldn't, the stuff that goes on in the church today wouldn't be near as what it should be, what it is.
I think so. I like to think that we're, and maybe it's just because of my own circle, because I'm very selective in who I let so into me. You know, we've become a soundbite church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in a lot of ways. We'll scroll through the reels and the TikToks and whatever the other stuff is called. We'll scroll through that stuff and we'll get 30-second sound bites, and we'll live off those 30-second sound bites. And I'll be honest, there's been some men that have done some incredible 30-second sound bites, and I'm like, oh, I want to hear that whole message. And right. Then I go listen to the whole message and I'm like, ooh.
It was that bad.
It's like 30 seconds was the only redeeming quality of that. I see now why that's your soundbite.
Tell me it wasn't one of my messages.
I'll play the fifth. No. I'm talking about, you know, people who are, you know, trying to get rich off this stuff. And
yeah.
Unlike Jesus ever did. But, you know, I think that's...
yeah.
You know, I think that's a problem. I said, you know, we can't live off a soundbite. You know, it's got to be the whole, right. Full, pure gospel, and I think because of that, we, I hate to keep being redundant, but we just struggle. We don't get a full picture of the kingdom, you know, of heaven. And if we look at the ministry of the New Testament, that's what we were pointed to and called to. Mm-hmm. You know, what did Jesus come to do? He came to usher in the kingdom. Mm-hmm. You know, not just, you know, going to heaven one day. You know, but and I think contextually, I think we have that wrong, because the Bible tells us that the new heaven's coming down and all of those things. So,
yeah.
You know, I just think there's a whole lot of context that we have traditionally bought into that isn't exactly the way Scripture is laid out for us. And regardless of that, it doesn't really matter if heaven's up in the sky or if heaven's down here on earth or in between or whatever. The reality is Jesus is trying to usher that kingdom into us now. He's trying to usher that way of thinking into us now. You know, what did he say? He said, you know, if you pursue the kingdom of heaven, I'll add the worldly stuff I want you to have, mm-hmm. right? Not the worldly stuff you want, but I'll add the worldly stuff I want you to have. And, you know, sometimes we get that wrong. We pursue the worldly stuff And then we tell Jesus we're his. And I think it's to be the other way around.
I was listening. I was listening coming home last night to Alice Cooper's testimony.
It's a good testimony.
Have you heard it? The one from TBN? And I listened to that, and I thought, you know, this guy's genuine.
Yeah, he is.
You know, he's really, but he's still, you know, he's spreading the gospel from the stage, continuing to do what he did, but just on a different level.
Yeah.
You know.
He has changed his head, his stage show a little
Yeah.
bit. And you know, he doesn't get his head cut off and all those other crazy things. But.
Bite off bats.
That was Ozzy. That was Ozzy. Yeah.
Oh, he did Ozzy the bat
Osbourne
thing.
Bit the head off the bat. Not knowing it was a real bat. He thought it was fake.
And I thought, man, I listened to his testimony, and I thought, wow, you know, that's taken Jesus to the world.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, and I think that's one of the challenges that I've said this, that the church needs to quit evangelizing the church and start discipling the church, and we need to start evangelizing the world.
Yeah. Well, the church doesn't want to be discipled.
No.
You know, we want to come get our Sunday fix and
be done with it.
And then, you know, feel good about ourselves the rest of the time.
Yeah.
And you know, that's not how it was really laid out. I mean, Jesus' time with the disciples was basically, you know, Gibbs slapping them on the back of the head and you know,
straighten
telling
them out.
That's not right. This is right. And
well, you said something.
Everyone's like, are they ever going to get to it?
Yeah, I know. It's like John and I.
Because we can just ramble forever, right?
John Sandy and I do that too, and it's so much fun because you know you never hardly see each other, you
right?
Know? And we talk to each other on the phone or something or texting. You were created by nothingness, and I had never heard that word nothingness. I
probably made it up.
No, I thought, does this word exist? Nothingness, and so I looked it up, and here's what it says: and we are created by nothingness. A state where nothing is present or where nothing exists that is important or gives meaning to life.
Yeah.
That's your definition of nothingness.
Nothingness, yeah.
So how do you tie that into the message of part two of created, that we were created by nothingness?
Well, I think, and that was scriptural. I think, was that in 139? Psalm 139 where I was at? But, you know, God created... And we'll just get into it. God created the earth from nothingness. It was null and it was void. There was nothing there. And God spoke it into existence. What does that mean? Okay, to speak it, you've got to envision it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've got to have a vision for it, right? And so he spoke the earth into existence. And, you know, everything, you know, that is, he spoke into existence. So now when we look at it from our standpoint, right? We didn't exist, right? We were nothing. There was no J. There was no concept of J until God thought of me.
Wow.
Right?
That's powerful.
So God had a vision for me. God envisioned who I was, what I was, and what I would be, right?
Right.
And so he created me from nothingness. There was nothing that had anything to do with me until God spoke me and crafted me and formed me and placed me in my mother's womb.
That's
so everything about me is created in his image, right? Who I am, what I am, what I'm supposed to do, what I'm meant to do is all envisioned by God.
Right.
Right? And, you know, we look everywhere else to figure out who we are, but God, right? Well, if I wanna understand a painting, who do I talk to?
The author.
The painter.
The painter.
Right.
Oh yeah.
If I wanna understand a book, you know, who do I talk to?
The author. Yeah.
Right. Just like we're doing this podcast. If I wanna understand the message, who do I talk to? You know, the messenger, right?
Right?
So if I want to understand who I am and what I am and what I'm meant for, who should I talk to?
That person.
God.
Yeah, God.
I should talk to God.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I think we look for it everywhere else. We try to find it in everything else. And I think that's why we're so easy prey for the enemy so often, is because he knows that we're not finding out who we are, first of all, mm-hmm. and we don't walk in who we are. And so ultimately, we give him every opportunity to present this or that or something else to us every single day that we think, oh, maybe I'll find myself here.
Right.
When the reality is, we have the resource to find out who we are from the very beginning. And that's in God Almighty.
Why do people, it's like I'm dealing with a situation with some individuals that were once free of alcohol, mm-hmm. and worked in an addiction program, but now is back to it. Mm-hmm. And it's like went years and years back into it. And out of the 35 years of ministry, this has hurt me the most out of anything that's ever happened to me. Mm-hmm. I can't get past this one. And it's like, okay, so you take somebody who goes through a divorce or somebody that goes through something. Next thing you know, they're brown bagging it. They're at the ABC store, and what causes people to go to that instead of him?
Well, alcohol is a cover up, and I trust me, I've walked these roads and I've lived these roads long, long time ago. I'm thankful to Jesus. It's been a long time, but I've walked these roads, and you know, for me, it was a cover up, and I'll talk about it from where I am. You know, I was able to mask my frustrations and my anger and my hurts, I guess you would call them. I was able to hide behind the alcohol. In all of those things and in all of those ways in my life. And the alcohol ultimately ushered in a whole lot more baggage into my life. So I thought I was like hiding from the guilt and the shame behind the alcohol, but all the alcohol was doing was introducing me to more and more and more. So I think people are looking for an escape.
Right.
Ultimately, you know, Adam and Eve, they didn't have a bottle or a brown bag to turn to, but you know, what did they do? They went and hid behind the bushes, mm-hmm. right? I think a lot of times, whether it's alcohol or whether it's drugs, whether it's fornication or adultery or whatever it is, we're turning to something to try to find something that's going to bring peace and relief to our emotions and our frustrations and to what we're dealing with in life. Yeah. And what we don't realize is by not turning to God and by turning to these things is we just bring more of the guilt and more of the shame into my life. I think, you know, and there's a chemical thing. I mean, some people are more prone to addiction than others. We know that. Science has proven that. And so I think some people turn back to all they know.
Right.
You know, I mean, the disciples, when Jesus wasn't here to lead them, and they felt inadequate to lead themselves, they went back to what they knew. And so I think sometimes people get to a place where they struggle finding themselves. They struggle liking themselves or accepting themselves. And sometimes they just struggle accepting what God has for them to do. I mean, my battle with alcohol came over running. You know, I was running from the ministry. Right. You know, I didn't intend to get bound by alcohol and the want and desire of it. But that's where it led me, because I ran from God. So I think sometimes it's just as simple as, you know, turning our needs to God rather than turning to the things that the enemy gives us.
You never hear, I don't think I ever heard a testimony. I went through a horrible, I'm quoting, making it up as I go. I went through a horrible time in my life, and I hit rock bottom. You never hear, but I turned to Jesus. You never hear that. What you hear is, I hit rock bottom. Drugs, alcohol, women, sex, all that stuff. And then when they get tired, they turn to Jesus. I have never heard a testimony where they turn to Jesus first.
Well, it's because we lose our strength. You know, there's two things that we know. That when in our weakness, the enemy will prey on us.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. The Bible talks about him being a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Right? Mm-hmm. All right. Well, who does a lion tend to attack?
The weak.
To attack the strongest? No, it attacks the weak. It attacks, you know, we see the videos all the time, you know, of them attacking babies and mm-hmm. and colts, or, you know, maybe something that's limping that can't run away as fast or whatever. Why? Because it's easy prey. Yeah. Well, that's how the enemy works. You show the enemy your weakness, and he'll use it against you.
Yeah.
Make no mistake about that. You vocalize your weakness, enemy will use it against you. Right. Yeah. And, you know, you tell the enemy your heart, he'll use it against you.
Wow.
Right. Yeah. And there's no doubt about that at all. However, the adverse of that is what God says. God says, in your weakness, I'm made strong. Mm-hmm. You know, in our weakness, he's made strong. So what's that tell us? It tells us I can either turn to the enemy who's going to prey on me. And you know, just make the hole deeper,
mm-hmm.
right? Or I can turn to a God who is sufficient,
right?
And who is capable and who is all-powerful,
mm-hmm.
and his strength will be made perfect in us.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
You know, so if we want to find a way to flex against our problems— and flex against our enemies, our personal inward enemies, right? Mm-hmm. The way to do that is to find the strength of God mm-hmm. in our life and allow him to prove us. Let him. I was talking to someone this past week that goes through just revolving family issues and family problems and family drama. And, you know, they were asking me, how do I combat that? And I said, well, you know, you don't combat that by coming to their level. You don't combat that by having a war of words. And you don't combat that by engaging mm-hmm. what you've already recognized as, you know, wrong. Right. You know, or I think they call it gaslighting or whatever today. I'm not sure I've ever fully understood that. But
I'm with you.
You know, so you certainly don't engage at their level and expect to win that battle. Why? Because you've given up your place of authority.
Right.
You've given up your place of strength. And sometimes the greatest thing we can do is just be still and let God fight for us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I told this person who was, you know, opening up to me about some of the chaos they were dealing with and concerns for their children and different things like that. And I said, you know what? The best thing to do is not to engage it at all. Let God fight for you.
Right.
And because he'll do it far better than you'll do it for yourself.
Yes.
And you know, let his strength be found in this place of weakness or in this place of trial and turmoil.
Well, the scripture says, Exodus 14:14 says, the Lord shall fight for you and you shall hold your peace.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you gave him good sound wisdom, you know, if they can uphold it, you know, and do exactly what it says. One thing.
I saw a funny meme. I share stuff on my story all the time. I don't even know if people look at stories, but you know, it's just something I do when I'm sitting there. And I saw this thing the other day that said, "I don't really care what you heard. Go hear it again. I have no desire to respond to it. So just go hear it again.
Right.
I'm going to let God prove me. I'm not going to banter around like a fool."
If you have somebody, and this goes along with my second question, when people talk, they are revealing their heart, and so, and you said that in the message, but then
the Bible says that, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, from the abundance of the heart,
the mouth speaks. Yeah. But then you have that person, and then you know we have to be. It's like I said last night when I was preaching in Winston. Why does the devil, his first name is Ol. The old devil.
Mm-hmm.
How many times you heard that? Mm-hmm. The old devil has been on my back all week, and he's now he's an old devil, and so, you know, it's like I don't voice struggles.
No, I don't either.
I mean, I hold them right there close.
Mm. Don't claim them either.
No. And it's like if I'm going through something, man, I tell you, it's just me and him because I very seldom ever voice it because I don't want to throw it out there.
Right.
But then you have a lot of people that – They base their Christian life on emotion and feeling.
Yeah.
And there's no stability in that.
No.
And so what you find is that as pastors, and you've seen this as well as I do, man, we got to hear the whole thing. It's like from start to finish, just like the woman with the issue of blood. I mean, this was 12 years, and I'm sure that he heard it from start to finish, you know, and what was going on here.
And that's a great example, the woman with the issue of blood. What had she done for 12 years? She'd trying to find everything other
than
God.
Spent all the money.
Right? She spent all the money. She tried all the stuff, right? And God only knows what that was.
Yeah.
Right? She tried all the stuff, and none of it fixed it.
All right.
Right? But when she turned to God, right? And you
fixed.
Say, well, Jesus wasn't walking the earth 12 years before that. Well, no, but God was present. God existed. And I think what we see is, you know, in those 300 years that there were no prophet, right? If people aren't being led to God, they rarely go to him themselves.
Right.
Right? I mean, we should all take a step back at that. But I mean, the Bible has proven it again and again and again, all the way back to Adam and Eve, really, right? If you're not being led to God, right? I've said from day one, if Adam was leading Eve,
would have never happened.
The way he was meant to lead Eve,
right?
She would have never taken the time to listen to that serpent, and Adam would have probably taken the serpent by the throat. And cast it out of the garden or killed it or whatever, right? Because he had dominion over it.
Right. That's true, he did.
There was nothing in the garden that Adam didn't have dominion over, including the serpent. There's nothing in our life we don't have dominion over.
Right.
Right? It's just a matter of whether we choose our place, whether we choose the vision God had for our life.
Which goes back to the identity crisis. If you knew who you were and you had dominion over these things, then you wouldn't. Okay, let me ask you this. With the woman with the issue of blood, she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. All right. This woman has spent all her money. She's you know, exhausted every aspect of getting better. How did she know if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I would be made whole? I wonder about that. I think about that. It's like, who told her that? And then, I mean, I get stuck there because I'm trying to think, who told this woman? Because, did she have any recollection of Jesus? Did she see him around town and say, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole? That'd be just like me walking up to you and say, if I can just touch the bottom part of your cuff to your blue jeans, I'd be made whole. I mean, where's that come from? You know, it's like
I'm not so sure what happened with my blue jeans, but I, you know, I don't think it had anything to do with the garment. I really don't, because Jesus told her. He said, "Your faith has made you whole." He didn't say, "My garment has made you whole."
So there was a transition that took place from worldly expectation to faith.
She turned her hope towards Jesus.
Right.
She didn't turn her hope towards the doctors anymore, or towards you know, this and that and the other anymore. I mean, you know, don't get me wrong. Doctors are great, and I have good friends who are doctors, and I respect and appreciate the years of study and wisdom that they have and they gain, far smarter than me, okay? So this is no knock on doctors whatsoever, and doctors are needful. Sometimes we need doctors. Sometimes we need the technology in the hospitals and everything else that works. Mm-hmm. And God's ordained it and made those things available. But I cringe when I hear people who just in a blink put their kids on medication that are probably going to be on that medication for their life.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because you create a dependency to it. And does it mask and fix the problem, right? It doesn't heal the problem. Because if it healed the problem, you wouldn't need it for the rest of your life.
Right.
Right. And, you know, and I feel the same way with adults, but especially kids, you know, and there are, number one, God can heal us.
Amen.
You know, and number two, there are approaches to healing far beyond chemicals. Mm-hmm. And I think the Bible shows that. The Bible proves that. The Bible talks about, you know, different medicinal things that people used back in that day and in certain situations and everything. And, you know, we're starting to hear, what is it called, homeopathic medicine, people that are coming up with natural remedies and different things like that. And, you know, there's supposed to be this huge breakthrough for diabetes with a homeopathic medicine and everything else like that. Well, that's what God gave us in the beginning. Why are we shocked at this?
Right.
You know, why are we, oh my gosh, I can do that and it's natural, mm-hmm. instead of putting chemicals in my body?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of makes sense. I mean, you know, it's what God gave from the very beginning. And, you know, so I'm at a point in my life, and yeah, I'm older, so I may be forced to eat these words one day and have to go to a doctor and have to take medicine or whatever. But I think, you know, I'm clearly overweight. I mean, I have lost a little bit of weight, but I'm clearly overweight and different things, and so I'm not a picture of health and all of these things. But I'm blessed in the fact that my blood works great.
Yeah.
My blood works great. You know, I'm not borderline diabetic. I'm not borderline cholesterol. I'm not borderline all of these things. My blood works great. Mm. And, you know, say, well, you know, my doctor, who's like a picture of health, you know, runs all of these 5Ks and marathons and all of this stuff like that. And everything else comes in, slams down the blood report with me one day. And he says, I just don't get it. And I was like, what? And he said, your blood works better than mine.
Wow.
And my fitness level is through the roof compared to yours.
Right.
And
you everything. Say I didn't come here to be insulted.
Yeah. And no, I mean, we're friends. We go way back and
I know.
Everything. So, you know, we can talk to each other like that with, that's, you know,
funny.
Without being whiny and puffed up, but,
that's funny.
You know, and so forth. Well, I pray for that.
Right.
You know, I ask God to give me the health and the sustenance to do what he's called me to do,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I believe he responds to that.
Yes.
I don't think it's any surprise that my blood work is good. I think it's good because I trust God for it.
Right.
You know, and I have expected to go into a doctor. And at some point, they're going to be like, oh, you know, you really need to lose some weight. You're borderline this and borderline that and everything else. Here's some pills.
Right.
And if that day ever would come, my response is no. You give me 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
You give me 6 months. I'll figure it out with God.
All right.
But I don't want the chemicals.
Right.
I don't want the drugs. If that day ever comes, that's going to be my response.
Right.
Right. And I think so often we just jump into this idea of masking things, you know, whether that's medicinal, whether that's alcohol, whether that's, you know, oh, I don't feel loved from my wife. So instead of working it through it, you know, I'm going to find fake love. Mm. Somewhere else,
right,
and all of these things. So, you know, I think we allow our weakness to become prey to the enemy, which is ultimately what we're talking about. And because of that, we never really find or experience the full strength of God in our life.
Because we allow these weaknesses or these afflictions to define us. And so here's the question. There's two things here. It's like, what?
Well, sometimes we're reaping what we sow.
Well, that's true.
And that did come out in the message. And I had someone ask me a question about that. But, you know, sometimes we're sick because of our actions.
Yeah.
Bible tells us that,
that's true.
You know, there are many sick among you because of acting this way and talking this way and gossiping this way. And, you know, you know, so you're reaping what you sowed.
A lot of times, you know, people that are people that are in a situation where they may be overweight, sometimes it's what's eating them instead of what they're eating. You know, it's like, and so that's what they turn to. But
and in my case, I'm not
saying about you.
No. I know.
I'm saying it just in general.
But I think that I'm just clarifying because there's probably people out there that might think we're talking bad about them because they're overweight. I'm overweight because I eat dinner at 8 and 9 o'clock at night instead of being smart and eating a cup of yogurt and going to bed. I eat a full meal and
I wouldn't eat a cup of yogurt.
I love yogurt.
Oh, gosh.
I love yogurt.
It's honestly
probably one of the best. I'm not a sweet eater. You know that. Yeah. I'm a meat and potato guy. But
yeah.
I'll take seconds and thirds before I'll take a piece of a cake or pie or anything. But
you remember Denon's yogurt?
Yeah.
Okay, you remember you had to turn it over and
it's still out there, yeah.
And punch the and then the fruit would come out. This is when
Really? You turn it over?
Yeah.
Oh, I never did that.
I would always
just scrape it up and stir it up before.
Well, if you put it in a bowl, you could like put it take a spoon through the top
you.
Of it and then it all runs.
Yeah. First You're smarter time, than me. I just stir it up.
First time I ate this and I'm thinking, you know, it's like this is the nastiest stuff. My sister's sitting there watching me eat this. Now, she knew there was fruit in the bottom of it.
I didn't tell me.
And it's like,
way to go, Kathy.
Oh, it's like, this is nasty. So, I mean, I've tried the sour cream and the mayonnaise and all that stuff. I just can't do it.
That's good.
But yeah, whatever I did to her, she got me back that day. And
good
I think,
job,
yeah,
Kathy.
I think we're even from that point on. But, you know, the woman with the issue of blood, we don't know her name. I always wondered what her name was. But then you think about people within the church today.
You know what her name is?
What?
Healed.
Healed.
Set free.
Set free. Glory to God.
Child of God. Yeah.
People in church, though.
And that should be enough.
Yeah.
And that goes along with what we're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, this idea of we didn't exist. And we give ourselves way too much power. We give ourselves way too much wrong authority in our lives, right? Because we didn't exist, going back to that original point, we didn't exist until God had a vision for us.
Wow.
Right? God didn't make us with the intent to fail.
No.
God didn't make us with the intent to struggle. God didn't make us with the intent to, and I'm talking spiritually, right? Mm-hmm. I'm talking, you know, as a human being spiritually. I'm not adding gospels to this whatsoever. God didn't have a vision for us. Oh, let me make a failure.
Yeah.
Oh, let me make an addict. Let me make an adulterer. Let me make a this. God never had those visions for us.
Yeah.
Never. Never, ever, ever was that part of what God created and placed in our mother's womb. God had a vision for us to become something of value and something of worth and something of power and something of wonder.
Wow.
And it can only be found in Him. And we pursue it everywhere else.
Wow.
We pursue it everywhere else rather than allowing it to be created in us and cultivated in us from the God who made us. And wow. and that's the ultimate idea of this created series is, you know, God gave it to you, you know, God placed it in you, so create it.
You know, you said something that if you are not healed, you will bleed on someone else.
Mm.
And I gave a lot of thought to that, and I thought, wow, isn't that the truth? Because hurt people.
Yeah.
You know, and if we're around people that are hurt all the time, I mean, I can't do that very long. Because I start getting pulled down, and it's like I got to get away from that, you know, because I don't live that way.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you can tell really quick where somebody is within the first few words.
Yeah.
And you know that. And so these two go together. When people talk, they reveal their heart. But if you're not healed, then you're going to bleed on somebody else. And then this is who you become.
Yeah.
You become, instead of the blessed, or you become the sick or the afflicted or the divorced or the, and I know people go through things, and I'm not shedding, you know, I'm not saying that's, you know, things happen to people, but when things go wrong in our lives, going to Jesus first instead of all these other things
yeah.
is where we need to be.
Yeah.
And, you know, you said something, you were talking about kids a little bit ago. We've had the opportunity to do a lot of traveling this year and you know, different youth events and different things. And this was like back at the beginning of the summer. I'm sitting in a place, and I'm standing there talking to the person, and kids are coming up to get their medication. And they're coming up to get their medication, and I'm saying, hi, how are you, blah, 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 and that kind of thing. And then that person would walk away, and I said, what'd you give them? You know, and the person would say, well, that's for anxiety medicine. That's their anxiety medicine. I said, how old is that person? 9 years old. 9 years old, Jay.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, 9 years old on anxiety medication. We never dreamed about that. And then this other person came up, young lady, 14. And so she walks away. And I said, what was that? And she heard me say that. And she turned around. She said, it's my anxiety medicine. And it's like, she was happy about it.
Mm.
And she says, and you know what? And she wasn't being smart aleck or condescending, but she said, my mom is on a higher dose than I am.
Mm.
And I'm thinking, man, you know, when Ritalin came out, a hind end whooping fixed a lot of that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I am very much anti
yeah.
that kind of stuff for kids.
But I'm thinking, is life that bad, Pastor Jay, that kids are, I mean, we never, I mean, when we took a test in school, it's and you had butterflies because you were nervous about it, but now it's test anxiety, and you have to have a dog sitting beside of you while you're taking a test. It's like you're having a meltdown over a test. It's like, my God, what are people going to do when something really goes wrong in their life?
And you know what? It was a great relief for that anxiety that I figured out when I was in school.
Well,
study.
Study, yeah.
Study.
It works.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, I told my boys from day one. And I mean, you know, I'm probably talking third, fourth, fifth grade.
Right.
You know, the minute you start a new section in your book,
yeah.
Read the chapter.
Yeah, read it.
Read the chapter.
Yeah.
You'll retain more from reading that chapter,
right?
Than you will sitting there memorizing a sentence over and over and over and over again.
Mm.
All right, why? Because it's creating a foundation of learning in you.
Yeah,
and so now everything your teacher is going to talk about is going to make sense to you because you've read the chapter and you have the foundation.
Yeah.
So every time you start something new, read the chapter. I was given that advice by a middle school teacher, well, junior high teacher, because we called it junior high, but a junior high teacher, Mrs. Jarvis. I want to say it was seventh grade.
Wow.
No, eighth grade. Eighth grade, I had Mrs. Jarvis and everything. And I was struggling with something. And she was just a sweet, sweet, kind lady. She came over, she put her hand on my back, and she says, what are you so stressed out about, Jay? I said, I just can't get this, right? And she told me, she said, well, I can't help you now, but I can help you moving forward. She said, and she gave me that advice. She goes, every time you start something new, and she knew I was a good student because I was a straight A with a B here and there kind of student. And, you know, so, and she spoke to that. She goes, I know you're smart. I know you're capable. I know you're able and everything, but sometimes things are challenging. And so she goes, the way we overcome that is every time you're introduced to something new, read that chapter.
Wow.
You know, so, and I think that's true of our life is, you know, every time we're introduced, spiritually speaking, every time we're introduced to something new, read God, right? Who's mm-hmm. God? God's the Word. God's the Bible, right? And that's how He comes alive to us. And, you know, and instead we, you know, we turn to the things of the world. And you know, I'm not attacking medicine. Some people need medicine.
Yes.
And some people have to have that. But sometimes people are also, as we said, afflicted because of their own choices and you know, suffering because of their own choices and dealing with things because of their own choices. And so many times I just sit there and think, God, if you would just give God a little bit of time,
mm-hmm.
and turn to Him in this, you know, maybe He'll deliver you from it. Maybe He'll right. He'll free you from it. But we become so desperate to hang on to this life,
yeah.
right? We become so desperate to help our kids that we think putting them on lifetime medicine is the best solution. When I'm gonna be honest with you, a lot of times, let them go outside and play and work that energy off, and they're going to be just fine.
Oh, yeah.
Let them go outside and exercise,
yeah,
and take some risks,
mm-hmm.
you know, and everything. I mean, you know, we're kind of that way we were that way with our boys, and we're that way with our grandsons. And, you know, there were people who often says, man, you know, Your boys are so rambunctious. No, my boys are boys.
Boys,
yeah. You know, they're running out and they're throwing rocks and they're fetching sticks and they're, you know, bloodying their knees and they're doing all of these things. Not because we're negligent, but because we're raising boys.
I remember.
And we're just very much minded that way. And I read a great book. And you know, I read a lot of Dobson, and Dobson was that way. You know, his book, mm-hmm. Raising Boys, is, you know, you can't raise a boy like you raise a girl.
Yeah.
You know, or you're going to create a girl in a man's body. Probably yeah. why we have a lot of these identity crises today,
yeah.
right? And, you know, boys are not made to sit 8 hours in a classroom all day. Boys are not this and that and the other. Read another great book by Steve Farrar called King Me. And he literally talks about that. And he said, you know, I used to take a walk in the evening across my field. And I had a beautiful walk. And this little young bull and I, he'd walk with me. And I'd pet him and call him by name and this and that and the other. Well, when the bull got old enough to think the field was his, he chased me out of it.
Oh, wow.
And so a few days later, my vet friend came by. And when I got home, his testicles were hanging over the fence. Right?
Oh, gosh.
Sometimes putting our kid on medicine because they just need to go outside and play
yeah.
and they just need to work off that pent up energy
mm-hmm.
and everything else like that. You know, it's an extreme illustration.
Yeah.
But man, don't castrate your son.
Yeah.
Just because you have a hard time recognizing that he's a boy and needs to do boy things. And, mm-hmm. and if there's probably some people out there going, I can't believe you said that. And I mean, read that book, Steve Farrar, Farrar, King Me.
King.
Go buy it off Amazon today. It will, if you have boys, it will be one of the best books you ever read. And I know there's people I've referred to it in the past, and they've read it, and they're like, wow, and everything mm-hmm. else, so they can comment and tell you that it's not just me. Great book if you have boys.
I remember, you know, in our get-togethers when our kids were little, and our boy, our kids are all about the same age, and
oh, John and Luke used to wear each other
they
out.
They still do.
They still do.
They still do. Yeah. And it's like, but I mean, I remember being at your other house, and we're watching football, and you hear thumps from upstairs, and it's like, yeah. and it's like. They're killing each other.
You just yeah. stop. Wait, do I hear any screams?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's okay. Yeah. And then, I mean, it's just like, and they're still that way.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, I've seen them get together, and the next thing you know, they're punching each other.
Yeah.
To where, I mean, it would hurt.
Yeah.
It would hurt. And they're punching.
It hurt me and you. Yeah.
And they're punching each other.
But I tell you what, nobody else ever better mess with them because
no,
they'd have each other's back
oh,
in a
they
second.
Would.
Yeah.
They would in a heartbeat. It's so funny. Whose choice is it to soar?
To what?
To soar. Whether you want to
oh, to soar,
achieve.
Like a bird.
Yeah,
okay,
to soar.
Okay.
Yeah. Whose choice is that?
Well, I think it starts with God.
Right.
You know, and I think if we lose sight of the fact that we are God's vision,
mm-hmm.
right? And you're going to hear a lot more of that this week. If we lose sight of the fact that we're God's vision, we will never soar. So I think from the beginning, it was God's vision
for us to soar,
for us yeah. to soar and how we would soar and where we would soar. And we're predestined to that. Mm-hmm. Right? God created that in us. Mm-hmm. Now we have free choice, so we don't have to walk that road, which is ultimately the struggle. But you know, so I think it was God's vision. And I think it's up to us to come to God to find that ability to soar. And you know, I think when Jesus tells us to pursue the kingdom of heaven, what does he say? He says, pursue the kingdom of heaven because, you know, moth and rust, yeah, you know, doesn't consume anything there.
Right.
So to me, anything that I'm putting major effort in,
mm-hmm,
that can be destroyed.
Right.
That can be corrupted.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That can be taken away, that can be burned ultimately.
Right.
In the end, that's not the kingdom of heaven.
Right.
I mean, just being very literal.
Yeah.
That's not the kingdom of heaven.
No.
Right? So what does he tell me? He tells me to pursue these other things, these spiritual things, these God-given things,
mm-hmm,
talents, blessings,
yeah,
hopes, joys,
yeah,
peace, right? Strength, mm-hmm, that all come from him anyway.
Yeah.
He's telling me to pursue those things, and he'll add this other stuff.
Right.
He wants us to have it. If it's part of the plan, if it's part of the vision, he'll add it.
Yeah.
Right? And there was a time in my life I felt like I needed to add it plus this. So I was trying to pursue the kingdom of heaven and trying to add things same time.
Mm-hmm.
And I came to the realization of, well, that's not what he tells me.
Right.
That's not how he tells me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just started putting everything towards God and everything in God. Mm. And seeking him, pursuing him, and I'm not perfect. I'm not suggesting that I am. I mean, I fell down hard a few weeks ago, and I had to make apologies over a stupid situation, and everything because of it. And you know, so we all fell, and God works in that. I mean, the restoration in that was beautiful. I had a great exchange of texts this week with that person, and thankful for God's ability to do that. But. You know, so I'm not trying to suggest I'm perfect, but I am radically pursuing the kingdom of heaven,
mm-hmm,
and it's heart and it's mind and it's hope, and it's strength in my life.
Right.
If God wants me to have something, he'll add it.
Yeah,
absolutely. And you know, I tell a story about my wife all the time. You know, I determined I wasn't going to be married, I wasn't going to have kids, wasn't going to have any of that because I'd blown it. Right. And I just wanted God. It was going to be me and God, you know, a life of Paul,
mm-hmm,
not going to be married, me and God, we're going to do this thing. And I was so focused on God, I didn't even notice what he was gradually doing,
mm-hmm,
with Sam and who would eventually become my wife. Why? Because God added that to me.
Yeah.
And he did it in a pure, perfect way.
Mm-hmm.
He added that to me, and so forth. So I'm a firm believer that if you seek the kingdom of heaven, if you pursue him and the spiritual things in your life, he'll add the things to you,
yeah,
that are needed for you to soar. And remember, your soaring isn't earthly whatsoever.
Right.
Your soaring is spiritual.
Yeah.
And only spiritual. So
The part one of Pastor Jay and us talking about Create It is on Facebook, YouTube, Spotify, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, anywhere that you have a source there. And it was actually our very first time of doing a podcast in front of a studio audience.
Yeah.
We actually had people there. And did people like that?
They seem to have, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I got a lot of...
I liked it.
Got a lot of positive comments. I hope they're being honest, but yeah. I mean,
I know it.
I don't, you know,
yeah.
I don't like the whole name and lights. I don't need to be on YouTube kind of thing. I just want to love people and minister Jesus to them. You know, so, you know, the whole idea of doing this for me is to help, you know, to help explain the message, to help, you know, people gain a better understanding and a stronger pursuit of what God has for their life. So, you know, I asked if it was helpful and many said that it was. So.
And so what's going on this week at the Pulse Church in Winfield? You've got a bunch of new youth that are coming.
Got a lot of new youth coming, Chosen Youth. We're excited about that. Check them out on Facebook. And everything this Sunday. I think it's at 3 o'clock, maybe 4 o'clock. But check with us, and we'll make sure you have the correct time. We're doing an Amazing Race scavenger hunt. Oh. Yeah, I scarred some kids at the youth retreat that we did by doing an Amazing Race, and you know, it was like, you know, 12 feats of mayhem, and a lot of it was to get them to think outside the box and everything else. It's like, you know, we've filled up these buckets of water, and they had to use a bucket that I punched a ton of holes in to fill up a pool. You know, one of those little blow-up pools and everything else.
Is this in Winston?
Yeah. Oh. And they were running back and forth and just exhausting themselves. And so finally, both teams. So finally, I had to call timeout and everything. And I was like, how long do you think it's going to take y'all to fill up that pool using these buckets? And they're like, it's never going to happen. I'm like, exactly. So what should you do? And they're like, fill up the holes. I'm like, yeah. How? You got a whole camp to figure that out, you know, and so, you know, get it. So a lot of it was to get them to think outside of the box. And then when the light bulb went off, you know, they went scrunch, you know, rummaging around the camp and everything, and found things to plug in the holes, and they completed the task quickly.
That's
but,
so funny.
You know, so it was a whole lot of that. But this time it's not that at all. So any of the teens that might be watching, don't freak out. We're not gonna run you to death this time. But this is a scavenger hunt. So they've got pretty much all of Putnam County, or I don't know what limitations Luke's gonna use. He might just be Chase Valley, but you know, so there's gonna be things on there of, you know, find John.
Like they
you
did.
Know, like you might just be placed somewhere random in Taze Valley, and they're like, find John, and they get 500 points if they find you. You know, go to someone's house and brush your teeth. You know, just crazy things like that. Which means not only do they have to go to someone's house, and they can't go to their own house,
right?
But they have to go to someone's house who has a toothbrush that they can brush their teeth with. You know, and different things like that.
That's gonna
and,
be crazy.
You know, they video it and take pictures of it, and we'll have you know, we'll have a big video to put out on the website and stuff for it. So they're gonna do that. I think there's like close to 100 different feats that they can do, and whoever gets the most points wins.
Wow.
And so
that's going to be awesome.
We'll be doing that this Sunday, and we'll be preaching Lord's Will Part 3 on Sunday morning. And yeah, I think that's it. I want to add this too real quick. We haven't really done the in front of the church thing on this, but we're thankful to have Andy and Christy Booth have joined the church and have come join the worship team at our church, and to help us in that. Andy comes with just incredible talent and know-how to that. We'd been having a problem with what ended up being the original amp that we had at the church, and he was able to help us diagnose that this week. So you know, we're just thankful to have them. Sam and I have known them for a very long time. Just phenomenal people and human beings. So we're excited to have them at the Pulse. So that's new and exciting at the Pulse as well.
A lot of great things that are going on. If you're not where you need to be today, all you have to do, how do you fix that? What do you do? What's the first step of saying, man, my life's a mess. I've got to do something. What do I need to do?
Touch the hem of his garment. I mean, you know, turn to Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter if you're in a hog pen, if you've got an issue of blood, if, you know, if you're drowning in alcohol or addiction, turn to Jesus. We had someone come 2 weeks ago to service, and they reached out to me on Facebook after and said what an impact it made on them and everything. And they said, you know, if you accept my friend request, I'm not proud of everything on my page, but after today, I'm working to clean it up. And I said, you can't. Turn to Jesus.
Yeah.
And let Jesus help you clean it up.
Absolutely.
And, you know, so I would, the first thing for anyone to do is to turn to Jesus. And there might be other steps, depending upon what your mess is, but he'll help you through those.
Amen. No doubt, Pastor Jay. It's always a privilege to be with you.
It's good to be back.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And please share, like, and subscribe. Let people know that we are sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ 24 hours a day. Download the app on the App Store for your Android device as well as your Apple device. The Pulse WV Lives gives you access to 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, music, preaching, teaching, some of the best this side of heaven. And it's not just me. Music preaching by Pastor Jay, Scott Means, Eric Veltri up in Braxton County, a different church that's not even affiliated with us, but he preached at a tent meeting, and so he's on there. Dwight Walls, Chris Beckett spoke, and we had him in the in the booth over here, and just, I mean, there's so much teaching and preaching that you have no excuse to live right. I mean, it's just right there. I mean, everything that you need. So we encourage you to do that. One of the things that you can do by helping this ministry is you can give to this ministry. And there are several different ways that you can do this. One of the things that Pastor Jay and Winfield does is they have a food bank. How often is the food bank open?
It is open the second and fourth Tuesday of every month.
Okay. So
the times, I think, are 2 to 6. Check me on that. I might not be right, but I think it's 2 to 6.
2 to 6.
On the second and fourth Tuesday.
You can check it on Facebook probably and find it. Yeah. So you can.
It's the House of Miracles Food Pantry.
Oh, awesome. And you can text the word PULSE to 1-304-244-3187. You can also go to the pulsechurch.com, give through PayPal there. Then you can mail your love gift to P.O. Box 5368, State Route 34, Winfield, West Virginia, 25213. And I guarantee you, you sow a seed, and God will richly bless you. Thanks for listening and watching the Pulse WV Live, a network that beats to the heart of God, and have a great day.